إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما، ما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله. We praise Allah. We seek His assistance. We seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, and there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah when you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen. And every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a straying, and every straying is in the fire. Today we want to continue, inshallah ta'ala, with part of what we left off with today's khutbah, and that is the part of the hajj of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qala al-imam Muslim, babu hajjati nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Muslim, he says in his sahih chapter, the hajj of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he says, Rahimahullah, Haddathana Abu Bakr ibn Abi Shayba wa Ishaq ibn Ibrahim Jami'an an Hatim. Qala Abu Bakr, Haddathana Hatim ibn Ismail al-Madani an Ja'far ibn Muhammad an Abihi. Qala Dakhalna ala Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma. Fasa'ala an al-Qawmi hatta anta ilayya faqultu ana Muhammad ibn Ali ibn Hussein. فأهوى بيده إلى رأسي فنزع زري الأعلى ثم نزع زري الأسفل ثم وضع كفه بين ثديي وأنا يومئذ غلام شاب فقال مرحبا بك يا ابن أخي سل عما شئت فسألته وهو أعمى وحضر وقت الصلاة فقام في نساجة ملتحفا بها كلما وضعها على منكبه رجع طرفاها إليه من صغرها ورداؤه إلى جنبه على مشجب فصلى بنا فقلت أخبرني عن حجة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال بيده فعقد تسعا فقال إن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مكث تسع سنين لم يحج ثم أذن في الناس في العاشرة أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حاج فقدم المدينة بشر كثير كلهم يلتمس أن يأتم برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ويعمل مثل عمله فخرجنا معه حتى أتينا ذا الحليفة فولدت أسماء بنت عميس محمد بن أبي بكر فأرسلت إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كيف أصنع فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم اغتسلي واستثري بثوب وأحرمي فصلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في المسجد
ثم ركب القصواء حتى إذا استوت به ناقته على البيداء نظرت إلى مد بصري بين يديه من راكب وماش، وعن يمينه مثل ذلك، وعن يساره مثل ذلك، ومن خلفه مثل ذلك، ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بين أظهرنا، وعليه ينزل القرآن وهو يعرف تأويله، وما عمل به من شيء عملنا به، فأهل بالتوحيد لبيك اللهم لبيك، لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك، إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك، وأهل الناس بهذا الذي يهلون به. فلم يرد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم شيئا منه، ولزم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تلبيته الحديث. This is part of the long hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu in Muslim that describes the Hajj of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Imam Muslim, he says, it was narrated to us by Abu Bakr ibn Abi Shayba and Ishaq ibn Ibrahim, both of them narrate on Hatim. And Abu Bakr, he says, it was narrated to us by Hatim ibn Ismail al-Madani on the authority of Ja'far ibn Muhammad, on the authority of his father, who said, we entered upon Jabir ibn Abdullah and he asked about the people until he came to me. Muhammad entered upon Jabir radiallahu anhu, and then Jabir radiallahu anhu, he asked about the people until he got to Muhammad. And Muhammad, he said, I'm Muhammad ibn Ali ibn Hussein. And then Jabir, he took his hand and placed it on my head, and then he moved down to take off my upper button, and then he loosened my lower button, and then he placed his hand on my chest. And I was a little boy at the time. And he said, Marhaban bika, yabna akhi. Jabir radiallahu anhu, he said, Marhaban bika yabna akhi, or welcome the son of my brother. Ask me whatever you like. So I asked him, and he was a blind man. And the time for salat came, and he stood up with a small upper garment that he had wrapped around him. Every time he placed it on his shoulder, then it would come off the other, because of the smallness of it. And his rida, or his bigger upper garment, was on the side of him hanging on the rack. So he led us in the salat, and then I said to him, inform me about the Hajj of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he motioned with his hands, 9. And then he said, indeed, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he remained 9 years without making Hajj, referring to his days in Medina alayhi salatu wasalam. And then he informed the people in the 10th year that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be making Hajj. And the people came to, and many people came to Medina, all of them hoping to follow the example of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to do what he did, alayhi salatu wasalam. So we left with him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, until we got to Dhul Hulayfa. And Asma bint Umays, she had the son Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr. So she sent to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what should she do? And the Messenger of Allah alayhi wa sallatu wa sallam said, take a ghusl and put on a pad, for lack of better words, and come into the state of ihram. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made salat in the masjid. And then he got on his riding animal, and then the animal stood up there. And Jabir radiallahu anhu, he said, so I looked as far as I can see in front of me, and there were people riding and people walking. And on the right of me, the same thing. And on the left of me, the same thing. And behind him, the same thing. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in our midst. And the Qur'an was being revealed to him. And he knew its meaning. And whatever he did, we did it also. And he made the statement of At-Tawheed, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, Labbaik la sharika laka Labbaik, Inna alhamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk, la sharika lak. And then the people, they made the statements that they made in getting into the state of ihram. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't oppose any of them, though he continued with his talbiyah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the end of this hadith. Before we continue, if we continue to the rest of this hadith, there were some points we wanted to reflect on. As Al-Qadhi Iyad, he said, the ulama had spoke about this hadith and pulled out or extracted much of the fiqh from this hadith, and they have written many explanations on this hadith. And Abu Bakr ibn Mundhir, he wrote a big book as an explanation of this hadith. And in it, he extracted 100 fiqh issues, 150 some fiqh issues. And if he wanted to really expound, he could have doubled that number in explaining this hadith. And Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, he says, for the first part of this hadith, there are some benefits. From amongst them is that it is recommended if someone has visitors or guests or something like that, that they ask them about themselves so that they will be able to treat the people according to the respective levels that the people are on. As it is narrated in the hadith of Aisha, that she said, أَمَرَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَن نُنَزِّلَ النَّاسَ مَنَازِلَهُمْ. That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he commanded us that we should place the people according to their levels. I don't know if that's the best translation, but what is meant by that is that some people have more virtues than others. And some people are going to be treated better than other people because of their status. And everyone should know who's being his guest so that he can treat him according to the status that he has. Of course, that's the level Islamically that someone has, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Some of the other ulama, they add, in light of this explanation, as we're going to see in the next point, that Muhammad ibn Ali ibn Hussein was from the family of the Messenger of Allah alayhi wa salatu wa salam. And as we saw, he asked him to ask the questions first, as opposed to the other people. As from amongst the virtues is what Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, he says, or from amongst the benefits of this hadith, is to honor the family of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or Ahlu Bayt Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Jabir was doing by being nice to him, by placing his hand on his chest and asking him first amongst the people, ask me whatever question you like. And this is how he was honoring the family of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Other ulama, they add that he did this to to Muhammad because he was a small boy. And that to a man, you wouldn't open up his shirt and then put your hand on his chest, making him comfortable. But because he was a little boy, that this was one of the ways that they made them feel comfortable and at home and not to be frightened, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, he says, from the benefits of this first part of the hadith is the recommendation to say marhaban, or welcome, to the visitors or the guests or people like that. And from amongst the benefits of this hadith is that you treat your guest or the visitor in a kindly manner befitting to the status of that guest, as Jabir was doing with Muhammad, trying to treat him kindly. And also Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, he says, from the benefits of this hadith is that it's permissible for the blind man to lead those people who can see in the salah. And also from amongst the benefits of this hadith, Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, he says that the person's house who you're in, he has more right to be the imam and leading the people in salat if the salat is led in his house. And Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, he says, from the benefits of this hadith is that it is permissible to make salat in one piece of clothing, even if you have the ability to put on more clothing, as was the case in Jabir radiallahu anhu. His large upper garment was hanging on the rack, but he was fumbling there with a little piece of something to put on himself, even though it didn't cover him all the way. And this is permissible, as Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah says, and Allah knows best. Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, he also says, and this is the recommendation for the imam to proclaim to the people or give notice to the people of important affairs, so that the believers can prepare for those affairs. And Al-Qadhi Iyad, he says, especially for the likes of this type of worship, that it is an obligation on the people from the very beginning, referring to the Hajj. A type of worship that has many verdicts to it, that it is necessary to have an explanation and statement and an action. And it's a must in this type of worship that you follow the example of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he said, خُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, take your rights from me, meaning the Hajj rights. I just wanted to begin with this part as an example to see how the ulama extract some of the virtues of this magnificent hadith of Jabir relating to the Hajj of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But I wanted to extract some other benefits for us, inshaAllah ta'ala, from this first part of the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhuma. In this hadith we see those people coming after the companions of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, visiting the companions of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's possible for us today to visit the companions of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as many of the ulama advise us, by reading the seerah of our Salaf al-Salih, like reading the book Sirah Alam al-Nubala that we quote from often, referring to the biographies of the famous who came before us, or reading the likes of Al-Musannaf of Ibn Abi Shayba, who we read in this chain, who is the Shaykh of Imam Muslim. He also has a collection called the Musannaf of Ibn Abi Shayba, where he has many of the narrations of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, where the people can begin to learn or to understand or to meet the Sahaba and their actions and their positions pertaining to this deen. Also the Musannaf of Abdul Razzaq As-San'ani, and also the Sunan of Ad-Darimi, and also the Sunan Al-Kubra by Imam Al-Bayhaqi, and also the Muhalla of Ibn Hazm. These books are flooded with the narrations of the Sahaba of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the chains that go back to them, Just like in this hadith, there's a chain from Imam Muslim back to Muhammad ibn Ali ibn Hussein and his meeting with the companion of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam radiallahu anhuma, Jabir ibn Abdullah. Also we see that they didn't just come to meet the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just to simply be in their company or to give them the salams, but they came to meet them to learn what the Messenger of Allah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upon. As there's only one way to be upon the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is by way of the Sahaba of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the answer to the question that some of the people might not be able to answer if they were asked after their statement, I follow the Quran and the Sunnah. What do you mean when you say you follow the Quran and the Sunnah? Meaning I learned the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from his Sahaba. And his Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een, they were the people who knew what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, and they did it. And even as we see, and we'll explain inshallah ta'ala at the end of the hadith, that even though they had did different talbiyahs than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet didn't oppose their talbiyahs. Even though he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he held firmly to his talbiyah alayhi salatu wa sallam. And this shows the virtues of the actions of the Sahaba, radwanullahi ta'ala alayhim, that they have practices that may have been different than the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam oftentimes let them go in their practice to show that what the Sahaba did was okay. And this is why, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us, we follow the call of the ulama who encourage us to follow our Salaf al-Salih from amongst the companions of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As we see, they were very eager to learn this deen from the last Prophet and Messenger to humanity sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Jabir radiallahu anhu, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the 10th year made notice that he would be making Hajj sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And all of the people came to Medina wanting to follow the example of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the difference between the Sahaba and us who come after them. If we find out that something is Sunnah, then we say it's only Sunnah. Meaning you don't gotta do that, that's Sunnah. Whereas the Sahaba of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, when they had noticed that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam was going to do something, then they hurried to be present on the scene before the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam did what he did, so that they would be eager or the first people to practice exactly the example of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Jabir radiallahu anhu said that they wanted to follow the example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to do exactly what he did sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is how we know what the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam did. And no one should feel that he doesn't know the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why hear so many opinions? He's saying this, that one saying that. I don't know what to do. Well, there were some people who did exactly what the Messenger of Allah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. And if you want to do exactly what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, then you'll follow the Sahaba of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As they followed the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, in this case when he left out and he went to Dhul Hulayfa to begin the Hajj from that point. Dhul Hulayfa is the miqat of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just outside of Medina. And there is a masjid, and the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he had advised his ummah after him to make salat in that blessed valley where he made salat at sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the miqat of Dhul Hulayfa. And this is why the believers now, as we had performed this year, alhamdulillah, when we're leaving the city of the Messenger of Allah salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi, al-Madinah, and we came across this blessed valley of Dhul Hulayfa. Then we made the two raka'as in the masjid, following the example of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How do we know that this was the example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Because the Sahaba were with him, doing exactly what he did, and then they narrated it to the people who came after them, so that they were narrated to the people who came after them, so that they were narrated to the people who came after them, so every generation would be aware of the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is how some of the ulama, they explain that the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, made notice that he would be performing the Hajj, so that those people who would make Hajj with the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, would inform those people who didn't make Hajj with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam how to make the Hajj of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, in this hadith, where Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr was born there at Dhul Hulayfa, when they were about to be performing Hajj, from Asma bint Umays and Abu Bakr and As-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, huma, she wanted to know, now that she was in the state of postnatal bleeding or nifas, then how was she going to go into the state of ihram, just like the rest of the believers, by taking al ghusl and then making the statement, labbayka Allahumma bi umrah, wa labbayka Allahumma bi hajjah, and then the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam gave the verdict to her. And the likes of this statement is the likes of which the ulama use to show that the students of knowledge have to learn verdicts pertaining to issues, even though those issues will not affect them directly in their lives. Like some of the people would say, what are we learning about these issues that only affect the women? Because your mother is a lady, and your wife is a lady, and your daughters are ladies, and your sisters are ladies, and you'll have to teach them the deen, or maybe you'll be from amongst the students of knowledge who have to teach the people the deen, and this is the importance of learning something, though it might not affect you directly, but it will affect some of the people around you, and this is the importance, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, for memorizing the different verdicts to this deen, because even if it doesn't benefit you directly, you'll be able to benefit someone, and you'll be, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, addalu ala al-khayri kafa'ilihi. That the Messenger of Allah alayhi wa sallam, in the authentic hadith, he says, the one who shows to the good is exactly like the one who does it. Also we see in this hadith that Jabir radiallahu anhu, he said that as far as he can see in front of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and on the side of him, the right and the left and behind them, were people. And sometimes nowadays, وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ, some of the people have misinterpreted or changed the verdicts of the Hajj because they say it's too many people now. Because there's so many people, you don't have to do this. Because there's so many people, you don't have to do that. Because there's so many people, you don't have to do that. And they wipe away the Hajj of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam because they say it's too many people. And in this hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma, we see that there were many people with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And some of the narrations say that it was over 100,000 Muslims who made the Hajj with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So it was crowded then, just like it's crowded now, and it'll always be crowded, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala. Inshallah. Also we see in this hadith the statement of Jabir radiallahu anhu, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was right in our midst. Maybe right now we say that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is not with us because Allah took him up to the Rafiqul A'la. But the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam was right in the midst of the Sahaba, and they narrated what took place while the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was right in his midst. And from amongst the things that took place is that the Quran was being revealed to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he knew its meaning. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entrusted him with his statement, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, and we have revealed to you the dhikr so that you may explain to humanity what was revealed to them so that perhaps they will reflect. This is the job of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to explain the Quran to the people. Revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he explained to the people how to live it. How can the people think that they come 1400 years after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, take a Yusuf Ali translation of the Quran and think that they understand its meaning better than the explanation of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? As when you call the people to the Sunnah, they say, I don't know about the Sunnah, what about the Quran? They say, what about the Sunnah, what about the Quran? How can you understand the Quran without the explanation of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The Quran wasn't revealed to you. And if it was revealed to you, you wouldn't have understood it. That's why you need Yusuf Ali's translation. Because you don't understand the language of the Quran. But on top of that, the people still think they understand the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran. People need to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for being so brave as to speak about Allah's book without any knowledge. The people who have no knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book should be quiet. The Quran was revealed to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he knew the explanation and he explained it to the people. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called the people to make Hajj with him, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded, "Wa atimul Hajj wal Umrata lillah," and I command you to complete the Hajj and the Umrah for Allah's sake. Tell me how to practice that ayah. The Messenger of Allah alayhi wasallam announced to the people, "I'm making Hajj to show you how to practice that ayah in the Quran." Because if it wasn't for the explanation of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, tell me how would you practice the ayah, "Wa atimul Hajj wal Umrata lillah." What other ayah in the Quran explains that ayah? It's the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And for the people who think that it's not fair, wallahi it's fair. For the people who think it's not fair, wallahi it's fair. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given every one of us a tongue and a mind, and we can learn how to read and speak and listen and understand the Arabic language. And whoever doesn't do it, then that's his own fault that he doesn't do it. And it's no blame or it's no excuse for you that you've been born to parents who don't speak the Arabic language. Because even the people who are born to parents who speak the Arabic language, they don't speak the language of the Quran. And they don't speak the language of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As our Shaykh Umar hafidhullah, he used to tell the people when he was teaching us there in the Prophet's Masjid, "Tell me wallahi," and he's a Nigerian. He says, "Tell me, you Arabs, that you speak the language of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahi, you'll be lying. And you don't speak the language of Abu Bakr or Umar or Uthman or Ali radiallahu anhum ajma'een. Rather, you've changed the Arabic language to what you've changed it to. So even if you're born to parents who speak the Arabic language, you still have to learn the Arabic language of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Arabic language that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran in. This is different than the Arabic language that's spoken by the Arabs today. Everyone has to learn the Arabic language. And no one has an excuse for not learning this language. And you are only able to speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen according to the knowledge that you have of it. And the knowledge that you have of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book is going to start with the knowledge that you have of the Arabic language. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book, the Quran, is explained by the Messenger of Allah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the language of the last Prophet and Messenger to humanity sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Arabic.
You're going to have to learn the Arabic language to learn the explanation of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And those things that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam explained of the Quran in practice without statement, then you have to learn the Arabic language or the language of the Sahaba of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, take your rights from me. So some of the rights of Hajj, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it, he didn't say it, alayhi salatu wasalam. They were sitting watching the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do this, and they did what he did, alayhi salatu wasalam. And then they saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do that, and they did exactly what the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam did. His explanation, alayhi salatu wasalam, isn't always spoken. Sometimes it's his actions. And then his actions have been spoken by his Sahaba radwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'een. Wallahi, we have to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way that we speak about his book. And that we should limit ourselves to the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, and to stay away from inventing lies upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book. Don't invent a lie on Allah. As wallahi, we have heard so many lies on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book. It's amazing that people who should know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shadidul iqab, or the severe in punishment, could be so brave as to speak about his book. As we were mentioning in one of our last lectures, that someone said, divorce is the most hated thing in the sight of Allah, and that's in the Quran. And when the brother told him, brother, that's not in the Quran, that's in a hadith. He said, I don't know what translation you've been reading, but the one I read, that's a verse from Allah, and we practice in the Quran that's been revealed to us. Wallahi, this is a lie on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book. This is speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen with no knowledge. The Quran was revealed to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he knew its meaning. And he lived it out, and he practiced it. And he didn't do anything except that the Sahaba did what he did, ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim. If you're going to practice the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you find yourselves in accordance with the practice of the Sahaba of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he made his talbiyah of a tawheed. And this was the message of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as it was the message of the messengers who came before him alayhi salatu wasalam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, on the tongue of his messengers and some of the surahs, Ya qawmi abudullaha ma lakum min ilahin ghayruh. O my people, worship your Lord, no God. O my people, worship Allah, no God has the right to be worshipped but Him. This is the message of the prophets and messengers before the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is his message. This was the message of every messenger. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدَ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ اِعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَجَتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. And we have sent to every nation a messenger proclaiming, worship Allah and stay away from the taghut. This is the message of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there are so many verses in the Quran and hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, that there will be a whole group of talks just to quote and explain the many ayat and the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam around this issue of a tawheed. And we're calling the people to a tawheed. And the people say, I don't even find the word tawheed in the Quran. You find it on the tongues of your Salaf al-Salih, from the Sahaba of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, who says in the hadith of Sahih Muslim, فَأَهَلَّ بِالتَّوْحِيدِ. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made his talbiyah at-tawheed. And this is what we're calling the people to. And if the people run away from tawheed, then they're running away from their deen. The deen of the messengers and prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the deen that they came to the people with. Rather, you were only created to establish this tawheed. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقُتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I have not created the jinn nor the mankind except to worship me. Some of the sahaba, they say, except to establish the tawheed of Allah. This is the tawheed that we call to and we emphasize as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As the ulama explained, he was in Mecca for 13 years calling the people to the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what we have been commanded to call the people to. Rather, we have been commanded to fight the people till they get on this tawheed. And we're light with the people when we're only speaking. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أُقَاتِلَ النَّاسَ حَتَّى يَشْهَدُ وَلَّا إِلَهَ اللَّهُ. I have been commanded to fight the people until they bear witness to La ilaha illallah. In the hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And in the hadith of Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood, and it's authentic, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, بُعِثْتُ بَيْنَ يَدَيِّ السَّاعَ بِالسَّيْفِ حَتَّى يُعْبَدَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شِرِيكَ لَا. The Messenger of Allah says in this hadith, I have been sent before the last hour with the sword, in order to make the people until Allah is I have been sent with the sword before the last hour until the people worship Allah. No partners does he have. Or as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam meant with his statement, حَتَّى يُعْبَدَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شِرِكَ لَهُ. So this is the tawheed that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said in the Hajj and called us to say. And this is the tawheed that we're upon inshaAllah ta'ala and we're calling the people to. And unfortunately, it's just as important to call the Muslims to the tawheed as it is the kuffar, because the Muslims have left the tawheed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His Messenger with, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As many of the ulama, they say that shirk is widespread in the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And I've often quoted to you many of the examples where the Muslims are worshipping graves. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands them to worship Him alone, the Muslims are making tawaf instead of around the Kaaba, they're making tawaf around graves of the saints or pious Muslims that have come before them. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. This statement, labbaik Allahumma labbaik, this is the statement of tawheed. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he says this talbiyah different than the mushrikeen, because they used to say, we only worship you Allah alone, and we don't ascribe any partners to you, except the partners that you already have. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. This is the statement of the mushrikeen, that they have attributed partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they say they only ascribe the partners to Allah. The only partners that they ascribe with Allah is the partners that Allah has. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no partners, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا شريك لك. And you have no partners. And I just wanted to end with my statement as an encouragement for us to continue to adhere to the way of our Salaf al-Saleh, even if the people blame us, because we see the confirmation of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet used to make his talbiyah, and the Sahaba had different talbiyahs that they used to say, other than the statement, labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik, إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ وَالنِّعْمَةَ لَكَ وَالْمُلْكِ لَا شِرِيكَ لَكَ. This is all that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said. But some of the Sahaba, they used to say, لَبَّيْكَ إِلَهُ الْحَقِّ. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he heard it, and he didn't say anything against their talbiyah. And this statement means, here I am, O the God of truth, or Al-Haq, referring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't oppose the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah. And because of this, many of the ulama, they extract verdicts in this deen, where you have no text from the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, but you have the practice of the Sahaba, then you find the ulama adhering to the way of the Sahaba. When there's no text of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because the Messenger confirmed much of the practice of the Sahaba when they were upon the truth, with the likes of the example of straightening the rows of the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, istawu, istawu. The people say, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam didn't say foot to foot. No, but the Sahaba did foot to foot in the presence of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw it, and he confirmed their practice. And this is why it's for us to practice with the practice of the Sahaba, because the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is the one who co-signed their practice. Who co-signed your stupidity and your foolishness? Who co-signed all of this bid'ah and shirkiyat that the Muslims have invented into this deen of Islam with no permission by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who co-signed it? Your imam? Did he co-sign it with permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Did he have the signature of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on it? Then why are the people hesitant to follow the Sahaba of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who have been co-signed by the Messenger of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Rather, they have been co-signed by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala himself with his statement, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever opposes the Messenger after clear guidance has come to him and follows a way other than the way of the believers, referring to the Sahaba of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will turn him to that which he has turned himself to, an interment to Jahannam. Oh, what an evil abode. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala co-signed the Sahaba. Who co-signed your program? People wondering why we ain't tabliki. No, we ain't tabliki. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't co-sign somebody being a tabliki, and we ain't no tabliki. And why are you mad we talking about the tablikis? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called us to follow the way of our salaf as-salih. That's what we following, inshallah ta'ala, and this is what we calling the people to. Why are you going to blame the people who have the co-signing or the signature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon it? Doesn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا. If they believe in what you believe in, then they would have been guided. If they, meaning those who come after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba, if they believe in what you believe in, referring to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba, as when this verse was revealed, they were the only people around. If they believe in what you believe in, they, meaning those who come after the Sahaba of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would have been guided. This is a signing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this manhaj is the manhaj of the haqq. And this is the way that the people must follow. They must follow the Sahaba and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the statement of falsehood. The Sahaba are men and we are men. Yeah, the Sahaba had arms and legs like you have arms and legs. And they had mouths and tongues like you have mouths and tongues. And they have minds like you have minds. But in your mind is stupidity, and in their mind was adherence to the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And your practice is the practices of bid'ah and shirkiyat. And the practices of the Sahaba was adherence to the book and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tell me those examples are the same. Yeah, they have money just like you have money, but they spent their wealth fi sabilillah, and you spent your wealth to see how much dunya you can get. Don't forget your share of the dunya, brother. Wallahi, you don't understand the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you make them. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and leave off every other way other than the way of the Sahaba, the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't you see that Muhammad Ibn Ali, Ibn Hussein, Ibn Ali, Ibn Abi Talib, rahimahullah, from the family of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ahlul Bayt. Don't you see who he turned to when it was time to get his deen right? He turned to the companions of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't say, I'm from Ahlul Bayt, whatever I do is okay. He didn't say, I'm from the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I don't have to ask nobody nothing. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, تَرَكْتُ فِيكُمْ شَيْئَيْنِ
النَّصِيطُ الْحَدِيثُ ذَكِرْنِي كُلْهُ أنا لا أقصد هذا الحديث، أقصد غيره الذي فيه ذكر أهل البيت. I'm forgetting the exact wording of this hadith. I was hoping somebody remind me of it. Inshallah, in another sitting, we'll mention this authentic hadith. It's in the Sahih of Muslim and others, where the Messenger of Allah is saying, basically, I left you with two things you must hold on to: the Book of Allah and my family, or عِقْرِ أَهْلِ الْبَيْتِ, as the Messenger of Allah says, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam commanded us to hold on to Ahlul Bayt. What did Ahlul Bayt, after the Sahaba of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, do? Turn to the Sahaba of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. What you look like other than a fool turning away from the Sahaba of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam? Allah, I hope that people excuse me from using these harsh words. But I don't find any other words more appropriate than stupidity and ignorance and foolishness and being silly than following a methodology in a way other than the way of the Sahaba of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What kind of ayat you want to use to say, I should be tabliki? كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. You are the finest of humanity. You are the finest people raised up for humanity. You want to use that ayah to say you should be tabliki? Wallahi, Islam, when 1,000 years there wasn't one tabliki. And there wasn't one person on this dunya saying he's tabliki, or he's down with the jama'at to tabliq, or the tabliki jama'at, or whichever way you want to call it. Wasn't nobody understanding that ayat like that. Wallahi, if you want to use the Quran and the Sunnah to defend what you're on, you have to follow the way of our Salafus Salih from the Sahaba of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Wallahi, if we have this opportunity to present to the people who do not follow the manhaj of the Salaf, we would have chose easier, finer, gentler words to make the message soft and compassionate so that the people can follow the haqq, follow the way of our Salafus Salih. Because the Quran is sufficient in itself as an evidence for what the people should be upon. And the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is sufficient enough evidence and proof and guidance for what the people should be upon. And the people should adhere to the book and the Sunnah of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what I wanted to present. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك الحمد لله. I don't know if there were any questions upon this talk tonight, the Hajj of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If so, then we can open the floor for them now. Yes. The brother is asking, is this hadith evidence that the elderly can make salat in the house as Jabir radiallahu anhu made the salat in the house? No. The people should make the salat in the masjid as we have been encouraged by the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the only time that people don't make salat in the masjid
is when there is an Islamic excuse. And if we're going to give the benefit of the doubt to anyone, then the Sahaba of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is going to be the first people to have the benefit of the doubt. Maybe the food was served. It's not mentioned in the hadith. Maybe the food was served and they missed the jama'ah, and then when the time for salat was there, they had no other option except to make it in the house. For example, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, but if a person, but the Muslims must make salat in jama'ah, as we have explained in the past with the details of the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, rather of the different ayah in the Quran that established that the Muslim men of age must establish the salat in jama'ah in the houses. In the masjids. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Yes. Fadl. No. No. SubhanAllah. To summarize, he says that the Jama'at al-Tabliq, or the Tabliqi Jama'at, that they encourage the people to do righteous deeds without gaining knowledge first of the Kitab and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They call people to the masjid, they don't teach them what to do in the masjid. Or they call them to go out on al-Khuruj, they don't know what to do when they're going out on wherever they're going. And he says to... the brother wanted me to remind that knowledge is before action. Rather, knowledge is even before your statement. قال الله تعالى فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. I command you to have knowledge of لا إله إلا الله. When you say لا إله إلا الله, you have to have knowledge of لا إله إلا الله, let alone all of the practice of this deen of Al-Islam that you have to have afterwards. And because of this, we call, even though the people have made fun of us in the past, they say, what benefit are you all going to get by all you do is sit in the masjid and learn Islam? What you going to get? This is what we have, Masjid Ahl Sunnah. This is the result of sitting in the masjid and gaining knowledge of this deen. Because when you gain knowledge of this deen, then you're able to move forth fi sabilillah. If you don't have knowledge of this deen, how you gonna move? How you gonna know what moves to make? How you gonna make the right moves if you don't know what move to make? If you wanna just make moves not knowing what to make, join the Tabliqi Jama'at. They love to keep you practicing without knowledge, to keep you upon ignorance. Rather, this is one of their principles. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from being involved in them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Yes, Akhi. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some of the texts of Islam, you know, they're clear as the sun is in the sky. And this sword is going to defend Islam. We just weak right now. So whenever the word fighting is mentioned, we twist it up so that the final meaning means, don't fight. Wallahi, wallahi alladhi la ilaha ghayruh. The Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fought fi sabilillah to make the word la ilaha illallah uppermost in the land. And we've been commanded in so many ayat to fight. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in so many hadith called us to fight. But we weak. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring the strength back to the believers. This hadith